And while you are seating yourself, please turn with me in your Bibles, not just in your bulletins, but in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. We will be using our Bible and our book of Proverbs, our insert of what we have in Proverbs in the bulletin. As we go through, there are bits and pieces where we'll do a little bit of back and forth between the two. Before I read and before I pray, let me mention a couple of things that will, I think, be helpful for us as we read through these verses. First of all, one of the things that we want to remind ourselves of, as far as what we have here in God's Word, in the book of Proverbs, is that when it comes to the book of Proverbs and what it is we've been given this book that is not a list of promises, but rather a list of principles that as we seek them and faithfully pursue them, they typically, though not always, lead to that desired outcome or that positive outcome that is described in these verses. And so when we're looking at some verses, we see that there is what would look like a promise, such as raise up your child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. It very much looks like a promise, but what we have within this genre of the book of Proverbs is a general principle that when typically followed and faithfully followed will likely produce that effect. But it's not a promise that if you raise your child in the church that they will grow up to be a Christian. Because to say that would be to go against other scripture and would certainly go against what we see in the world. A couple of other things. As we've been going through, we've put this forward as the theme of the book of Proverbs, which is wisdom versus folly. We'll see that on full display in these verses, as we already have with some. Wisdom versus folly. The motto of Proverbs is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the goal of Proverbs is peace with God and with man as we pursue the principles that have been delivered to us in these verses. So now, let me pray for us. And we will discuss, we'll read first and then discuss and talk about these verses that we have before us this morning. Our Father in heaven, your name is holy, your name is good. You are our God and we are your people. We thank you for providing for us, especially as it concerns what it is we are to know about you and how it is we are to bring honor to your name. And you give this to us in your word. Your word at times is difficult to understand and even more difficult to apply. And so I pray that you would grant to us the mighty work of your Holy Spirit so that we might first understand your word rightly, not bringing to it anything that we would desire for it to say, but submitting to what it truly says to us. We ask also that you would, through the work of your Holy Spirit, guide us in being those who will faithfully hear and then do all that you have given to us in your word, so that we might not be as those who look into a mirror and then walk away unchanged, but those who look into your word and are changed by it. Guide us as we read these verses. May you be glorified in our examination of them, and may we be transformed more and more fully into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Picking up in your bulletin in Proverbs, where we left off, picking up there on the second page, Proverbs 15, verse 2, and carrying on through this in the next page. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pours out folly. Folly is a joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight ahead. Good sense is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the instruction of fools is folly. A worker's appetite works for him. His mouth urges him on. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their father. Let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Why should a fool have money in his hand to buy wisdom when he has no sense? He who sires a fool gets himself sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. The discerning sets his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. A man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? The sluggard buries his hand in the dish and will not even bring it back to his mouth. Condemnation is ready for scoffers and beating for the backs of fools. Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you will have plenty of bread. Bad, bad, says the buyer, but when he goes away, then he boasts. It is a snare to say rashly, it is holy, and to reflect only after making vows. The glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair. Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. Precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. Be not one of those who gives pledges, who put up security for debts. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who tarry long over wine. Those who go to try mixed wine. Those who look at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart utter perverse things. You will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, like one who lies on the top of the mast. They struck me, you will say, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake? I must have another drink. By wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. For by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. Wisdom is too high for a fool. In the gate he does not open his mouth. If you have found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it. Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, and like vinegar on soda. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Like snow in summer or rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, a curse that is causeless does not alight. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Whoever sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Like one who binds the stone in the sling is one who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn that goes up into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like an archer who wounds everyone is one who hires a passing fool or a drunkard. Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. The sluggard says, "There is a lion in the road. There is a lion in the streets." As the door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. It wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. One who is full loathes honey, but to one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet. Be wise, my son, and make my heart glad that I may answer him who reproaches me. Crush a fool in a mortar with a pestle, along with crushed grain, yet his folly will not depart from him. A stingy man hastens after wealth and does not know that poverty will come upon him. If a wise man has an argument with a fool, the fool only rages and laughs, and there is no quiet. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Well, you might be thinking at this point, what an odd conglomeration of verses. Yes, it is an odd conglomeration of verses. Perhaps some of you are like me, where when you travel, you like to bring back some of the currency of the country to which you have traveled. And so perhaps you've got some Japanese yen and Korean won and various other currencies from places that you have been, whatever it may be. And you have them somewhere where every once in a while you pull them out and look at them and say, well, isn't that interesting? Well, this is something of what we have in this collection of verses from Proverbs. Most of these verses are verses that I didn't quite get to fit in one of the other topics that we had. And so we have what then is a bit of a miscellaneous pot. And you will remember that as we began this series in Proverbs, I mentioned that one of the commitments that I made when I became a pastor was whenever we as a church or whatever church I'm a part of and preaching at, whenever we choose a book of the Bible to go through, well, we're going to read from the pulpit every verse of that book of the Bible. And so that commitment of mine, which I'm dragging you into, is on full display this morning as we see some of these verses that just don't quite seem to fit. They're a little bit odd. Some of them we'd love to talk about, like the gold ring and a pig's snout and a non-discretionary woman. That'd be all sorts of fun. Or a dog returning to its vomit. Wouldn't we enjoy having some discussion there? One of my favorites from this selection is the person who has bound the stone in the sling, because we all know what's going to happen there. And it is a bit comical. And there is some comedy, there is some humor intended in these, as the folly of foolishness is highlighted and emphasized in a way that does bear some hyperbole and says, look at just how foolish folly is. So, what do these verses all have in common? Well, they all have in common this theme, and that is that in these verses there is the emphasis that the choice between wisdom and folly is not just a one-time choice. It's not a choice that you make one day and is good for the next. It's not a choice that you even make one moment and is good for the next moment. It is a choice that is made moment by moment by moment. And we'll see that, I think, as we go through and examine a few of the sections that I would like for us to focus on this morning. The first of which is chapter 17, verses 27 through 28. So if you would turn in your Bibles, not just your insert there, but in your Bibles to chapter 17, verses 27 through 28. I will read those verses again, and we'll consider some of what we have here. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Perhaps some of you are familiar with Aesop's fable of the donkey and the lion skin. This donkey who was traveling along and came upon a lion skin and thought, oh, won't this be fun, and donned the lion skin, clothed himself with it, and was tickled pink with how the other animals then responded to this lion that was really a donkey. And in his glee, he let out a marvelous bray, which of course was not like the roar of a lion, and his whole charade was completely given away. This is very much what happens sometimes when some of us open our mouths. And sometimes it's when all of us open our mouths at different times or in different situations. One of my dearest friends and most beloved mentors, name that many of you know, Mark Ross, once told me the story of a book that he was supposed to have read for a class in his own seminary class. And his professor called upon the class to give a little bit of a summary of the book. And of course, Dr. Ross, having read the back cover, felt very confident that he might give a decent summary. And of course, in response, his professor quoted from Abraham Lincoln and said, it's better to keep your mouth closed and let everyone think that you are a fool than to open it and remove all doubt. And he shared that with us in saying, don't give me an answer that you really don't have an answer to. Just be silent and learn. And we would all do well at times to remember what we are given here in Proverbs 17. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Now, you'll notice that as we look at this verse, particularly the first of these, 27, It's not saying that we should have no words. It is saying that we should restrain our words. Having no words is typically not a particularly helpful thing for anybody. Having too many words is even less helpful, though. And so just as we would look at God's word and say, well, this is right and true all the way through, we would be mindful and right to say our words are not God's words. And so let's make sure that our words have been mediated, sanctified by, and measured by God's words. And sometimes that means we need to be silent. Whoever restrains his words. This is a description of the person. The next little bit there has knowledge. This is the characteristic by which they are known. Think about it for a moment. Many of us have friends that are very quiet. Many of us have friends that are very loud. And many of us look at both of them and say that there is wisdom found in those friends that are both quiet and those that are loud. But by general rule, in the spirit of the book of Proverbs, when you need wisdom, when you need help, when life is difficult, do you go to that person who is the center of attention, who is always talking, who is loud and verbose at just about every moment? Or do you go to the person who is typically quiet, who typically is a bit more reserved and saves their words as though they are precious? Now, this is not a hard and fast rule by any means, but it typically goes to show where we see the wisdom of silence. And typically, not always, there is wisdom with those who are careful in the words that they use and how many words they use. In chapter 29, verse 20 of the book of Proverbs, do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. That's really something. We have a whole book that is condemning fools. A whole book, the book of Proverbs. The entirety of it is a condemnation of those who are foolish. And then we have this verse toward the end of this book. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. That ought to make us pause. That ought to be something very, very striking. It's as though I were standing up here and condemning a certain kind of person for 10 months in my preaching, and then at the end of that said, oh, and by the way, they're more likely to make it into heaven than this type of a person. It should be something, as the author of Proverbs seems to have intended it, that strikes us. Those who are hasty in their words have less hope than does a fool. Christ filled out this example, didn't he? In a way that is and ought to be very convicting for us. In a moment where we think maybe he would have done all right if he had said something. Do you remember as he was brought to the council before the rabbis, before the priests, before the scribes and the Pharisees and all those who would condemn him? They asked him, we've heard that it was said of you that you said that you would destroy the temple in 3 days, or that you would destroy, that this temple would be destroyed and that you would rebuild it in 3 days. And what did he say in response? Nothing. Fulfilling the promise, the prophecy from Isaiah 42 and 53. As a sheep before its shearer is silent, so will be my servant. There was wisdom in Christ's silence. He provided an example for us there. There were times when folks came to him in need of something, and what was his first response? He was silent. Why? Because there was something more that he was wanting them to do. As they learned, as they grew. So consider, as you go through this next week, as difficult as it might be, it'll be easy for some, difficult for others, and various moments will bring out those difficulties. But think about where it might be most faithful and most wise, rather than responding, to bite your tongue. Second thing that we would want to consider as we look at these verses, as we consider, okay, how are we using our words to be faithful? How are we using them to bring honor and glory to Christ? How are we being those who are faithful to build up the body of Christ, the question that we would want to ask with this is first of all, do the words that you are about to say bear faithful witness to your confession of Christ? Maybe you need to write that down and stick it somewhere on your forehead and on your arms and maybe on a mirror in a window, and maybe in your car would be a good place for it. Do the words that you are about to say bear faithful witness to your confession of Christ? Second question that we might ask as it concerns the theme of silence presented to us in the book of Proverbs. Do the words that you are about to say breathe faithful marks onto the life of the hearer for being built up in Christ? Perhaps, like you, your parents at one point took a tube of toothpaste, or like me, I should say, your parents took a tube of toothpaste and said, "All right, open it up, squeeze it all out," which was quite a shocking thing because my parents were very frugal. So, "Are you sure?" "Yes." "All right, now put it back in." "What are you talking about? We can't put it back in." I said, "Yeah. Same thing happens with your words. All of our words that go out, can't put them back in." Of course, me, I was that kid that was like, "Well, if I took that toothpaste and got a little funnel and..." I'm like, "That's not the point, Andrew. Our words, every single one of our words, especially within the body of Christ, leave marks on those around us. The words that you breathe out, are they leaving faithful marks, which sometimes, as we've been reminded and shown in previous topics, they are wounding marks, but faithful? Do your words leave and breathe out faithful marks on those around you so that they are built up in Christ? Let these two questions be a guard for you and a guide as you seek to be faithful in what you say and don't say. Two other points that I'd like to make as we build, as we look at building one another up in Christ, we also see wisdom's construction. So first we have seen wisdom's silence. And then we're going to look very briefly at wisdom's construction, not instruction, but construction, and wisdom's fit. And these two will be brief. When I mention two names, some of you will know exactly what I'm talking about. Others of you will say, "What in the world is that?" Haynes and Chilton. Some of you are thinking, "Ah, I know Haynes and Chilton." Others are, "Oh, Haynes and Chilton." And of course, Haynes and Chilton have been known for many, many, many years of being writers and publishing companies that built automotive repair manuals. And they were really, really good at it. Very detailed on how you could take a car apart down to its tiny little bits and pieces and then put it back together again. It wasn't written... Those manuals were not put together by one person. They were put together by, at their peak, about 900 different professionals who knew exactly what they were doing. And this is what we find in these next verses. Look with me, if you would, at Proverbs 24, verses 3 through 7. "By wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. For by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in an abundance of counselors there is victory." This is what we've been called to do. And I'll be very pointed on this, because it's something that is crucially important for us as Christians. If you do not have someone in your life to whom you can go for counsel, find that person. If you have only one, if you have only two, if you have only three, if you have only four, if it is at all possible, get at least five. And then seek them out for counsel as often as you can. Let them be those faithful people who will pour into your life, who will give you a perspective on this side and a perspective on that side. In the Lord's grace, He has granted me a number of men far wiser, far more experienced, far smarter than I will ever be, and I'm able to go to them. And they all have different perspectives. And every once in a while, the wisdom that they will give will be different from the wisdom that one of the others has given. And in this, there is what, as we see in Proverbs, an abundance of counselors. Some of us are so enamored with our own ability that we think we can reinvent the wheel. Well, if you were there when the wheel was invented, it probably wouldn't have been you who invented it. And in the same note, when it comes to the wisdom and the counsel that we can gather from others, why would we try to reinvent it when others can hand us what would be helpful to us? Seek out counselors and be wise in the counsel that you then give to others. Thirdly, then, this will be our final point. Proverbs 26, verses 1 through 6, and then verses 8 through 11. Let me read these and then discuss some things that we should discuss. Like snow in the summer or rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, a curse that is causeless does not alight. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Let's pause there. And one of the places, perhaps you're the same, perhaps not, one of the places that I hate most in this world is the fitting rooms of clothing stores. Not a fan. I don't know why. It's not for any particular reason. It's not because there seems to be just almost no real privacy. It's not the thought that there have been a lot of other people changing in there. It's not the thought that I just don't like them. It just feels weird to be changing somewhere other than your own house. But they're there for a purpose, and a good purpose. When you're buying clothes, you want to make sure that they fit before you spend good money on them, right? Wisdom is something that ought to fit. And very often, it does not. For one of two reasons. One, it is our own fault because we do not fit wisdom, but rather we're trying to make wisdom fit us. And that's not wisdom at all, which is the second reason. When we look at wisdom and you say, well, it doesn't fit, well, maybe you're not pursuing what is truly wisdom. And so we've either mischaracterized wisdom or we have failed to see how we are the ones that must change so that we fit wisdom. These verses here in chapter 26 talk about what is fitting, snow in summer. Well, certainly not in South Carolina. That's just never going to happen. I think we're all okay with that. I wish we had a little bit of snow in summer. Rain and harvest. Not just not fitting, but destructive. Like a swallow in its flying. This is something that is also not fitting. A curse that is causeless. Doesn't fit. Nothing's going to happen. Then it goes on to discuss some things that do fit. A whip for a horse. A bridle for the donkey. And then a rod for the back of fools. These things are fitting. And it's usually fairly obvious to us and to others whether or not it's the rod that better fits us or whether it's wisdom that better fits us. So consider this. Ask the Lord to grant to you wisdom so that you might see, is wisdom a good fit for me? Or perhaps more properly, am I a good fit for wisdom? And if not, perhaps I need to go on that diet. Perhaps I need to hit the gym so that I might fill out what is the right and proper understanding of wisdom. Now, how did Christ do this? In a marvelous way that is beyond our imagination, for one. But he did this in many, many ways. And one of the things that you'll note as you go through and read the gospel accounts is that even those who hated Jesus knew that he was a man of wisdom. They knew that he was a man of understanding. They knew that he was, as they often called him, a good teacher. They were willing to confess this. They weren't willing to challenge him, though they tried at times. They weren't willing to challenge him in one-on-one intellectual combat because they knew that they would fail. And so it is with wisdom and us. Just as Christ clothed himself with wisdom, so he calls us to clothe ourselves with wisdom. And there's another garment that Christ speaks of and grants to those who are his, and that is what? The white robe of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And what is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is the fear of the Lord? Recognizing who God is and who we are. Recognizing that God is God and we are not. Recognizing that God is holy and true and righteous. He's merciful and gracious and has given to us Jesus Christ as a Savior. When we recognize this, then we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And this is a garment that fits and leads us to wisdom. So as you go from here, what are you going to do? We've been working through Proverbs. We're nearly to its end in the next couple of weeks. And we've looked at how do we apply the truths of Proverbs to our lives. Well, here are a couple of concrete examples that I would encourage you to consider. First of all, if you're not already, read Scripture every day. Do you all do that? Do you really? Or do you just maybe think about it? Kind of take that box off. It's like, oh yeah, John 3:16. Let me quote that really quick in my head. Done. I've been there. That's not very helpful. Yes, it's good to hide God's word in your heart. Yes, it's good to memorize Scripture and remind yourself of it throughout the day. But you got to read more. We're supposed to grow in our understanding and in our knowledge of God's word. Read Scripture every day. If you haven't made a commitment for this yet, then do it. And don't do it tomorrow. Do it today. 5 minutes. On average, the American household spends 5 hours a day watching television. Somewhere around 3 hours on average of scrolling through social media. You have time for 5 minutes with God's word. Second thing I would encourage you to do is to follow the instruction in James chapter 1. Pray for wisdom. James is very real in his letter. Very, very real. He says, all right, dummies, if you don't have wisdom, ask for it. As he's writing to these who are in difficult positions, who have in some way or another apparently expressed to him, we don't know what to do. He says, ask for wisdom. Ask that the Lord would guide you in understanding and truth. And here's some very practical wisdom for you. If you're not praying for wisdom, pray for it. And do it regularly. Have it be one of the things that you pray for every day, that the Lord will grant you wisdom. Because what is the promise? That he will give it to you generously and without reproach. A third thing then, as I've mentioned already, surround yourself with those who are wiser than you. Don't just surround yourself with those, but surround yourself with those who are wiser than you. Now, here's the problem we have with that. All of us like to be the wisest one in the room. So we typically like to surround ourselves with those who are not quite as wise as we are. I've been there. You've been there. It's the reality of our own ego. Surround yourself with those who will be able to call you out. As you're saying something, who will be able to say, actually, and in love, of course, actually, I don't think you're right. Actually, here's a better thought. We typically don't like surrounding ourselves with those because what does it make us have to do? Walk in humility. Surround yourself with those who are wiser than you are. And eventually, in the Lord's grace, you will be one of those that someone else surrounds themselves with because you are wiser than they are. And have learned that the Lord is the one who is giving the wisdom. The Lord is the one who is working in us to do and to will of his good pleasure. So I encourage you on these. Read through these other verses of Proverbs. And if you have any questions about some of these strange verses, please feel free to shoot me an email. We can figure out a time to talk about why it is we ought not to tie a stone in a sling before we attempt to sling it off. Let me pray for us. Gracious Father, you are good to us, and you have given to us all that we need in your word to know you, to bring honor and glory to you. We ask that you would give us wisdom. We ask that you would grant to us the wisdom that is Christ's, that is not our own, the wisdom that leads us in becoming those who are fully equipped. Guide us in walking in humility before you. Give us ideas and creativity on those whom we might surround ourselves with as we seek to become more wise and learn from the counsel and the instruction of others. Give us diligence to spend time in your word each and every day so that we might have your wisdom. We desire to be changed by you through your word and your Holy Spirit. Grant us this, we ask, in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.